going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. A lot to get to here on this show. We're going to try to hit up all the sports, but the NBA. Meany ran off the top. No NBA games today on the schedule. Why? I don't know why they need the extra day off when they switched over to, you know, the series, the first two games of the series on home court. You know, like, for example, you know, last night we saw the Mavs and the Suns, and then the 76ers, Miami, and then, you know, we have Boston and Milwaukee, and the series shifting over to Milwaukee, and they got to take the extra day off. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not being, I don't want to be totally hard on the NBA, because it's obviously a sport, and I'm sitting here, you know, in my basement and doing a fantasy sports slash betting show here. Like, who am I? But what do these guys need the extra day off for travel? Like, it doesn't happen in the NHL, and I think that's more of a grueling sport. Like, it's very physical. It's tough. They just get right after it. There's no two-day breaks in the NHL. So I thought it was a little weird when I woke up this morning. I was taking a look at the NBA schedule to give a couple picks and props. Like, okay, no, they're not playing here. So we'll visit the NBA tomorrow. I want to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl with you. Of course, we're a long ways away from the Super Bowl happening, but I wanted to take a look at just the early odds to win the Super Bowl after now the dust has settled over the NFL draft. And I just wanted to take a look. I think there's some value with certain teams. The AFC is absolutely loaded, and I think there's some NFC teams that are certainly interesting. Maybe we get ahead of the curve and take a couple futures on some of these teams. Of course, we're going to talk a lot of hockey here on the show. We have four game twos happening. Last night we saw the Bolts, a much better effort from Tampa Bay, which we kind of expected, against Toronto, even up their series. And we did see, you know, other teams get back in as well. Edmonton on home ice, Minnesota on home ice. After those two teams losing games one, they looked much better in game two. Those series tied, and the Bruins are in trouble. The Hurricanes have their way with Boston again. This is, what, five games now where the Bruins have played Carolina, and they scored one goal in three regular season games against them, and they have three here in three games, or two games in the playoffs. It does not look good for the Boston Bruins. And they that game was nasty. That game was chippy. Brad Marchand was up to his old self, slashing goalies, cross-checking goalies. And there were three five-on-threes for the Hurricanes. And if you're going to give that team five-on-threes multiple during the game, you're not going to get by. Sorry, Reuter. Your Bruins are in trouble. But we will look at the four game twos today. Will Florida on home ice be able to bounce back like Minnesota and Edmonton and even up their series against Washington? Dive into that. We got Calgary and Dallas. We have Colorado and Nashville, and also New York and Pittsburgh. And we saw three overtimes between those two teams in game one. Igor Shesterkin made 79 saves, the second most ever in a playoff game. Korpisalo, a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets a couple years ago against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I do believe. Actually, you know what? I lied. It was against Tampa. And I think that was a three or four overtime game as well. So, I mean, when you make 79 saves, you know it's at least going to a couple overtimes. But the Penguins are shorthanded again. Like, they're going to have to go to their third string goalie, Louis Domingue, here tonight. We got Casey DeSmith, who's out long-term due to a groin injury, and Tristan Jarry is in a walking boot. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are shorthanded, to say the least, in goal. The Rangers are heavy home favorites here today at MSG, and I do like them to bounce back and even up this series. But we'll break that down, all of it down, in a little bit. Also have some props, some shot props, and some point props to target here with you guys. Yesterday was pretty solid in terms of shot props. We did go 4-for-4, so hopefully we can continue that. And I think maybe the night before was like 0-for-4. So, I mean, we can't get too excited here. Let's try to find some consistency with some of these shot props. I have a handful that I really like. I think I put a good dozen picks in our FTN bet tracker. A link inside the description of this video if you're hanging out with us live on FTN. You can subscribe. Smash the like button. Of course, you can watch this show over at Game Plus. But if you're looking for some picks, more action, check out FTNbets.com. Speaking of FTNbets.com, actually, we'll plug Ratcliffe's package in just a second, George. Let's talk about Dangle Betselli, because it is new. It's not a new show, but it is now on Game Plus Network. Eric Young and myself recorded this morning. You can catch the replays always over at FTN. Network, our YouTube page, ftmbets.com. You can listen on Spotify, iTunes, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. But super thrilled to be part of the Game Plus Network family, Anthem Sports and Entertainment. Absolutely love you guys, and I miss you all as well. And I appreciate you guys taking the shot on me to have Dangle Bet Selly presented by Game Plus and also pointsbet.ca. Link inside the description of this video. Again, if you are watching live on our FTN YouTube page, Dangle Bet Selly live. Well, not officially live, but it is on Game Plus Network at 5 Eastern on Tuesday and 5 Eastern on Thursday, taking the replay spot here of Mean Streets. Eric Young is fantastic. He's fantastic, and he's a big Preds guy, and he is not counting out his Nashville Predators just yet, even though they did get worked over against Colorado in Game 1. It was 5-0. I said this on the show, like, if you cracked a cold one to start that game, Colorado and Nashville, I'm sure Eric did. By the time he finished that cold one or got his second one, the game was already over. It was 5-0 for the Avs. I'm going to talk a lot about Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon, Cole Harbour's own Nathan MacKinnon, and also Sidney Crosby from Cole Harbour. We'll get into him a little bit later on as well. But Dangle Bet Selly, check it out. We'll be with you until that Stanley Cup is raised every Tuesday and Thursday, giving picks, props, just talking hockey, answering questions. You know, people are hanging out with us live. I think we had we must have had a good 40 or 50 people hanging out with us live this morning, asking questions and, you know, talking from a DFS standpoint as well. So again, thank you, Game Plus. Appreciate you taking the shot, and check it out. And if you have any questions, reach out at Chris Meaney. DMs are always open on the Twin Machine. I always circle back to before puck drop on the YouTube videos just to see if there's any last minute changes or guys pop up from a prop standpoint that we can certainly target. One more thing. We mentioned this yesterday. Jeff Ratcliffe's rookie scouting guide is updated. It's fresh and it's live. Over 150 player profiles. You see there stats, overall rankings. Jeff was the number one ranker over at Fantasy Pros last season. Number one. A fantastic job from Jeff. Shout out to Jake Seeley, who was number two. Those guys are together in All In Football, which you can also catch on Game Plus Network as well, Wednesday evenings at 8 Eastern. But yeah, you got the scouting guide there. You have the player profiles updated with, you know, their respective teams, what it means from a fantasy standpoint, just a real life NFL standpoint. He runs through all the skilled positions, and also over at ftnfantasy.com/pricing, you could get the fantasy football package. You could also get a fantasy football / fantasy baseball package, which will help you throughout the entire season. Lots of baseball still left. But really, the NFL has everything from not just the rankings and overall stuff, but there's all kinds of content. Offensive line rankings, I noticed in there, which is, you know, pretty significant when it comes to making bets or just, you know, drafting running backs and things like that, even quarterbacks. So we have a lot of greatness already over at ftmfantasy.com, but we'll be with you throughout the entire offseason talking rankings, sleepers, busts, projections. It's all there with our FTN Fantasy package. You can use the promo code MeanStreets, NHL, or Chris Meaney, actually Meaney, and that'll save you a little bit of cash. But again, if you have any questions, certainly reach out about that. We'll take a quick break. We'll get into the three stars from last night around the diamond. I have an MLB prop towards the end of the show, and of course some NHL stuff along with some football stuff. Lots to get to here. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network and our FTN YouTube page. I wanted to give some love to a few players last night around the diamond, a couple of stars, and, you know, a couple of them could be hanging around the waiver wire because we'll start with Rowdy Tellez. Why not? Former Blue Jay, right? Blue Jay legend. Dude's got a lot of pop. We're known for his power for sure. More of a platoon guy, but he's getting basically an everyday opportunity to play baseball for the Milwaukee Brewers. And yesterday he had a monster day. I think a 431 shot. Cleared the fences easily. Tellez definitely has some pop. I mean, he's got a fantastic game in Rowdy, but 7 home runs on the season. He's hitting .267, which is okay, right? He's not killing you average-wise. I think he'll probably finish his sub .250, but his on-base percentage is .337. He's got 4 homers over his last 4 games, cashing in with some RBIs. And you know what? Hitting in the cleanup spot in what is a decent lineup. I mean, Milwaukee is more known for their chucking than their hitting, but the ballpark is really nice. You know, Christian Yelich there. Andrew McCutchen had a really good day yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers as well. I like Hunter Renfro. He's got some pop in his bat. Of course, on this show, we did call the Milwaukee Brewers to go to the World Series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, they've just been okay to start the season. They're on a little bit of a run lately. They started off pretty slow, but they rattled off wins in six of their last eight. They got 7 wins, over their last eight. They won yesterday 18-4. How about the Cincinnati Reds? How many wins are the Cincinnati Reds going to get this season? They got three wins. I don't know if they get to 45. That's crazy. They shipped off everybody in the offseason besides Joey Votto. It's got to be pretty frustrating to be a Reds fan. And I'd imagine like the trades are going to continue to come. Like they're just going to ship off whatever they can out of their bullpen. Luis Castillo is a guy that's probably going to come. He's going to be into the rotation soon, activated from the IL, and he's probably going to get shipped off as well. It's got to be so frustrating to be a fan of a team and they're just like trading guys left, right, and center. They went basically all in a couple years ago, picked up a lot of players through free agency in the trade market, and they hung around. I mean, they were a competitive baseball team, and boom, just like that, it's got to be rough. I mean, at least you have the Bengals, right? Since you got the Cincinnati Bengals, and exciting times if you're a Bengals fan. Not so much if you are a Reds fan, but a little bit of love to Rowdy. He's actually hanging around waiver wires right now at 28%. His ownership has jumped up 22% over the last 24 hours just because of this 4-for-6, 2-homer, 8 RBI, 11 total bases day. But again, some pop in the bat, lineup's okay. I'd roster him. He's only got first base eligibility, but the first base position is not the best. You know, you're just looking for some pop, and certainly you're going to get it there with Rowdy. Garrett Whitlock, got to give a little bit of love to George's guy, Whitlock, who did tell me he would be amazing for 3 or 4 innings yesterday against the Halos, and he absolutely was. He was fantastic. I think he struck out the first 6 batters he faced. He has been really, really strong so far this season, and he did get roughed up a little bit towards, I think, the 5th inning, but maybe they kept him in a little bit too long. But his pitch count continues to rise. He has been starting. He just has RP eligibility for now. I don't know what the long-term plan is for Garrett Whitlock. He's a former Yankee, had Tommy John surgery, and the Red Sox picked him up in the Rule 5 draft. This guy is phenomenal. Like, he is fantastic. What an absolute weapon. Whether you're going to start him as an opener, just have him as a specialty guy, as a long reliever, giving you 3 innings or so, 9K in 5 innings. They said in the broadcast last night that the first 12 Angel batters he had faced, he's only faced, I think, 12 Angel batters, and he had like 10 strikeouts against them in his career. George says, too bad the Sox left 80 runners on base last night. Yeah, it was a rough finish for the Red Sox. And then a couple of my buddies, Boston fans, texting me about Whitlock and saying, oh no, like he's going to be unbelievable to start the game. You watch, and he was. And then they were wishing that he could have just closed the game for them too, because the Red Sox bullpen is not great right now. They'd like to have this guy long-term, I think, just as a weapon inside the rotation. In case your starter gets eaten up early, then you can put him in there for 2, 3, 4 innings maybe. Is like a high leverage guy, maybe not a closer. You're not going to get a whole lot from him from a closer standpoint. But there are a couple things. Like, I think he's an immediate pickup for one. I mean, you may have missed the boat. His ownership's around 80%. But there's value in some of these relievers. We had Matt Williams on the show a couple weeks ago from The Athletic, and we talked a lot about this. A guy like Garrett Whitlock, Michael King from the Yankees, guys that, you know, you can put in for a weekly lineup. Like if you're playing fantasy baseball and your lineups lock on Monday for the week, I would chuck him in as opposed to an average 2-star guy who may just blow up your ratios. Especially if you're in your rotisserie league, you could roll out Whitlock. And maybe he just has 2 or 3 appearances for the week, but he racks up like 8 or 9 strikeouts. That's pretty significant. I'd rather that. Keeps the ratios pretty clean. Strikeouts are going to be there. You may fall into a win, but you're not going to get lit up by these average 2-star guys that you're just throwing out there. So that's a strategy that I've taken for years. I know I've talked about it at Anthem Sports Entertainment back in the day. I really do like that strategy, and I think it's something that you can apply, especially in rotisserie leagues. Again, I don't know if he stays inside the rotation. Eventually, we're going to see Chris Sale back. We're going to see Big Maple, Canadian boy, James Paxton, who's yet to make his Red Sox debut. These guys eventually will be inside the rotation. They've had some injury issues. I don't know how long they could stick, but I think for now, Whitlock has earned himself, you know, opportunity. I should have checked this. I'm going to check it on the fly. Bear with me, guys. His next outing, I do believe it's prime time against Atlanta. It's okay. Atlanta's been striking out quite a bit. So he's going to get another start on May 10th. He's got 29 punchouts and 21 and two thirds. His ERA is 1.25. His whip is 0.69. Oh, so nice. Jared Walsh did get to the Red Sox last night. They had the lead. They blew it late with Diekman in there. And then they just clobbered them in the 10th inning with a lot of runs. I wanted to bring up Jared Walsh because there was a couple different ways I could go for that third start. The reason I wanted to bring him up is because I noticed his ownership has dropped considerably over the last week and a half. It's been a very slow start for Walsh, but yesterday was a good day. He had the double. He had the home run to kind of get them going. He had a great at-bat, actually, against Jake Diekman in the bottom of the ninth. Lefty on lefty, right? Cora went to throw out the lefty in there against lefty Jared Walsh. And Walsh hung around. And it, you know, sometimes it takes, like, you know, a 12-pitch at-bat just to get your confidence back when you come through for the team. And I think he could potentially go on a run. He was really good for the Halos last year. 30-plus bombs. Average was okay. He cooled off in the second half, but he was an all-star. And the lineup is pretty good in L.A. And if he's going to hit in that 4-5 spot with Anthony Rendon, Trout, Otani, and Taylor Ward, who went deep yesterday as well, AL Player of the Week, you know, he may have an opportunity to drive in some runs. So if you see him hanging around, I think he's a pretty good buy-low candidate. Somebody tried to get him off of me in a league last week, and I quickly said, reject, no chance. First base, outfield eligibility, keep an eye on him. Take another break. We will get back into baseball a little bit. There's a lot of afternoon action. So if you're watching here on Game Plus, some of the games have already started. I wanted to get like an MLB prop from a late night game. So more baseball talk towards the end of Mean Streets, but we're going to dive into the NHL. So keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Going to turn our attention over to the NHL here for the next couple of segments. We've got four games to break down, and then the next block, I'm going to just dial in and give you my favorite shot props and point props for tonight's action. FTNbets.com/pricing. Use a promo code NHL or Meany. Save yourself a little bit of cash. I always say this, but I do believe the package is well worth it. We're up over 90 units in the NHL. We had a pretty strong day yesterday on the ice. And not only does the betting package give you access to the NHL picks and some projections, as well as Discord channels across all the sports, MLB, NBA playoffs happening, NFL futures. Guys are giving esports picks, which I know viewers of Game Plus Network definitely into the esports. We have a few people giving some esports picks, tennis picks, golf picks. We talked to Wells Fargo yesterday as well. So lots of action over at FTNbets.com. Kind of roll through some of these series and hammer home some props in the next block. But I'll talk through these games and kind of give you guys an idea of what I'm thinking from a pick standpoint. George, let's start with the Penguins and the New York Rangers. So it was a crazy game one between these two teams. Triple overtime. Lots of action. A 4-3 win for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Evgeny Malkin had the overtime winner. This game was, you know, pretty even for the most part, but I do believe that the Penguins are the better 5-on-5 team. I think that they are, and the Rangers are a team that's, they kind of struggle at 5-on-5 in terms of creating shots and giving up a lot of high danger chances as well. But Igor Shesterkin saved them most times, and he was phenomenal in game one. I said off the top of the show, 79 saves, the second most ever from a goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a record 81. Everybody's shot prop hit in this game, so it's tough to really say, oh yeah, take Brian Rust because he had 16 shot attempts in the game. Well, I mean, basically played two games of hockey there. So we'll get into the shot props later, but I do like that top line in Pittsburgh. I thought they were really well. This is from our friends. I thought they played really well. These are from our friends, these statistics over at naturalstattrick.com. Rust had 16 attempts. Gensel had 12 attempts and Crosby had 12 attempts. They scored three goals between them. That's not a sentence that I should ever say. Between them, they had three goals. Rust had two assists. Crosby had two assists. So a big night, 7 points between the three of them, over 30 shot attempts. Rust had 9 shots. Gensel had 8 and Crosby had 7. What I will say is those three players did clear their shots, their props, before it went to overtime, right? So that's positive. The kicker here in this game is that the Penguins have to go to their third string goalie. Tristan Jarry's out with a walking. He's got a foot injury, fractured his foot a few weeks ago. He's in a walking boot. Casey DeSmith hadn't played a whole lot of hockey this year for the Penguins. He left around second overtime, I do believe, and now he's out long-term due to a groin injury. Now they got Louis Domingue, who is a third-string goalie, a decent backup. Not good enough to be the Penguins' backup, but he's going to be starting here tonight, game two, against Igor Shesterkin. I think we'll see a much stronger effort from the Rangers. I do believe they got hosed a little bit. They scored a goal with a couple minutes left in that game. Looked like they were going to go on for a victory, and then the Penguins challenged it. It was goalie interference. I thought it was a kind of a weak call, but nonetheless, the Penguins found a way to win that game, but I like the Rangers to even it up, and I'm going to lean with the under here. Even though it's Louis Domingue, we didn't get the under last game. I still feel like the under is the play in this series with Shesterkin and net between the pipes and the Rangers, the lack of offense that they have at 5-5. I do believe the Penguins will try to tighten things up a little bit, right? They're going to have to play super strong in front of Louis Domingue, but I like the Rangers. Guys that I like to have, hit the score sheet here. Andrew Kopp, we'll get into him in the next segment. But Andrew Kopp has been well over a point per game guy here for the New York Rangers to start his short career with the Rangers, playing with Artemi Panarin, getting some power play time. I like him, and look for Frank Vatrano maybe to find the back of the net for the New York Rangers. Another guy that they picked up at the deadline who's been really good. So Rangers lean to the under, but I do like New York. Not heavy favorites, but minus 160. Use our free prop shop parlay calculator over at ftmbets.com to get the best possible odds. But minus 160 is okay for a single. Maybe you want to chuck them in a parlay here. But as you see, the odds have changed just slightly. Pointsbet.ca, link inside the description of this video as well. You got Kreider on the board with Igor Shesterkin, and I think those two will be big factors here tonight. Another series I'm looking at will stay in the East, the Washington Capitals and the Florida Panthers. I thought Washington really took it to Florida. They went into a place where the Panthers had only lost 7 games all year in the regular season. They were the best team in the NHL, and they were the best team on home ice, and they scored the most goals. But the Capitals really started off the game strong, outchanced them 7-3 in the first period. High danger chances 2-1 in favor of them, and the shot attempts in favor of them as well. Had the over in Florida in game one, did not get it. It was a victory by the Capitals, 4-2, so kind of right there at that number. Lars Eller scored an empty net goal. I'm viewing this the same way as I viewed last night. Minnesota on home ice bounced back after losing game one to the St. Louis Blues, and then the Edmonton Oilers last night on home ice, a bounce back against the LA Kings, and the Oilers in the Wild absolutely rolled. And I do expect that here today. I do have a lot of respect for this Capitals team, some of their forwards a couple years removed from winning the Stanley Cup. I think they're kind of shaky in goal, even though, whether it's Vitek, whether it's Samsonov, like one of these guys, I feel like the edge actually is with Sergei Bobrovsky and the Florida Panthers. But we're going to see a much better effort here from Florida. A little bit more desperation in their game. Can't afford to go down 2-0 in the series and lose both of those games on home ice. So I think they kind of get home ice the advantage back here tonight with a victory in Sunrise. And there's a whole lot I like here from this game in Florida. I think guys like Huberdeau, Sam Bennett, Barkov, I think the shot attempts will certainly be there. Giroux is plus money for an assist. He did score a goal in that first game, but I'd like his odds to get an assist. And on the other side, Alex Ovechkin, he had 9 shot attempts in game one, which is the most of anybody from this contest, and he put 4 of them on net. I like him as well, and we'll talk about him a little bit more. But I do see offense. I like the over 6.5, and I like the Capitals. I'm a little hesitant to take him on the puck line to win by 2 plus money. Washington, potentially without Tom Wilson, is a pretty big loss. I know he's an agitator, but he's a decent forward. Like, he scores goals, and he has a role, and he's really good in that role. But I do like Washington or Florida here on home ice to bounce back. These next two games, pretty chalky. Colorado and Nashville. I mean, I don't really know where the edge is with the Avs against the Preds. Look at this, minus 400. As I said earlier, this game was over pretty quickly. They had 5 goals within the first few minutes of the game. And Nashville is also they're not into playing their third string goalie, but they don't have a choice. UC Saros could potentially play later on if this series was extended to 6 or 7. I just don't see it. It does look like Vanacek is going to start for Washington. Okay, but Connor Ingram may get the start here for Nashville. I don't know if they'll go back to David Riddick. Is he shell-shocked, right? He left early. It wasn't all on him. I know he had a freakout when he was pulled, like most goalies do, but, he slammed a stick around in the tunnel. I'm sure he wasn't feeling great. The defense didn't help him out a lot, but the Avs are loaded. They're just so strong. They have so much firepower. I have a hard time believing that Nashville is going to make this a series. I think they probably win one game, and I would say it's on home ice. If UC Saros can come back, the games will be a little bit more competitive. But there are a lot of different ways you can go here with the Avs. Now, to take them on the puck line is minus 150. I did put that in the bet tracker. I do think they win by a couple goals. I wouldn't get crazy and say they win by three here. I do like the over because I think they're good for four or maybe five, and I think the Preds can do their part, maybe get a couple as well, just like we saw in the last game. Matt Duchene has been really good against his former squad. He had four shots. He had two goals. He had four goals in three regular season games against them, and he's cleared 2.5 shots in all four games against his former team. From a 5-on-5 standpoint, like, this game wasn't close. 62 shot attempts and 37 for Colorado. The scoring chances were 22-16 in favor of Colorado, and the shots were 33-22 in favor of the Avs as well. They got guys back like Gabriel Landeskog in their lineup who, you know, had a really good game one as well. I think the Avs continue to roll. Nashville's just in such a tough spot here. They're going to roll out Connor Ingram potentially in game two against Colorado, Mile High. He's played three games. He's got an .879 save percentage and a 3.71 goals against average. Yeah, he was good in relief for Riddick. The game was out of control at that point. It was basically over, and Colorado's just kind of going through the motions. So I like the Avs to continue to roll, have some point props in the next block. But I think, you know, if you're playing DFS, Nathan MacKinnon's going to be super popular. Gabriel Landeskog is a little bit more expensive than he was in game one, but he's in play. Mikko Rantanen certainly got Nichushkin on that top line. We had him on the show for, I think, minus 140 for a point and plus 150 for an assist. He fell into an assist. And when you're playing with Nathan MacKinnon, who has like 74 points in 52 playoff games or something like that, you're going to fall into points playing with that guy. But take a look at maybe the second line with Landeskog. Maybe get some other guys in there like Arturi Lehkonen, who's basically been a point-per-game guy for Colorado. He's really cheap. I expect the Avs to score some goals tonight. They're going to be very, very popular in DFS. If you're playing cash, it's hard to ignore them. But take a look at some of their secondary or third scorers, you know, on the third line, like a guy like Lehkonen, who gets some second power play opportunity. It's a way to just kind of differentiate your lineup just a little bit. But I think the Avs continue to roll. And then this next game, Calgary and Dallas. We did have this one pretty much spot on. You know, last time we previewed it here on the show, we talked about Calgary and the under. I think that's a trend that will continue here. Picking on the Stars, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if you missed the show earlier in the week and we're just kind of previewing this series, the Dallas Stars 30th in the NHL in goals for per 60 at 5-on-5 from our friends over at Natural Stat Trick. 30th. There's only 32 teams in the league. This is the lowest scoring team in the NHL in the Dallas Stars. The second lowest team in the NHL in scoring goals on the road. They got nothing on the road in game one at Saddle Dome and at the Saddle Dome. Oh man, electric atmosphere. I don't know if you've ever been to a hockey game in Calgary. It's fantastic. I don't know what they put in the draft beer, but you have a couple of those draft beers in Calgary, they'll floor you. They'll floor you. Saddle Dome's a hard place to play. You got the sea of red. Flames are rolling. They only had one goal themselves, but they dominated the play. Only Arizona has scored more goals or fewer goals than Dallas at 5-on-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks of the season. 6 weeks. And you know the team that has allowed the fewest goals at 5-on-5 per 60 this season? The Calgary Flames. Jacob Markstrom with the shutout in game one. He may get another one before this series is over. I expect the Flames to make quick work of the Dallas Stars. And I expect them to get maybe a little bit more offensive firepower, maybe a couple more pucks towards the goal. But I do like the under here. Under 5.5 is sometimes a little risky to play. You don't want to be playing under 5.5s, but minus 110 is not a bad place. George, take me to Calgary, means need the bats. Calgary's great. Calgary's beautiful too. I mean, you got the mountains right there. Banff's awesome. I played golf at Banff Springs. My buddy got married there a few years ago, like 12 years ago now, and it was just gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. Calgary's wicked because you got everything there, right? You got the city, you got the teams, you're 2 hours away from Edmonton. That Battle of Alberta is really great. Hopefully we can get that in the second round. And then, like, you got the mountains and the ski resorts, and Calgary's fantastic. Really good time, George. You got to go. Lots to do in CGY. So yeah, Flames roll. Dallas had 10 shots at 5-on-5. 10 shots in that game, and they were only able to get 16 shots in that one. All right, so this is kind of my thoughts for hockey. I appreciate you guys bearing with me, just rambling solo here. We're going to get a guest on tomorrow to dive into some more hockey talk and also some baseball stuff. But Flames in the under, Rangers lean to the under, Florida in the over, and Colorado on the puck line, and kind of got to lean to the over there as well. And a lot of props that I like for the Avs. We'll talk about them next here on Mean Streets. Let's continue the hockey talk here on Mean Streets. A few shot props and some point props. Yesterday, again, a perfect day. So proceed with caution because you know how it works. It never goes that smoothly. But we did get our guy Adrian Kempe yesterday, who continues to roll. And I forget what other ones we did have. David Perron plus money, a couple other. Oh, yeah, Pastrnak, who had like 10 shots on goal. A couple things there that we had from yesterday that you can keep an eye on or keep in mind for tomorrow when those teams are back in action. But I am going with Sidney Crosby here, over 2.5 shots. Sam Bennett over 2.5 shots. Alex Ovechkin over 3.5. And then Jonathan Huberdeau as the bonus here at 2.5. You know, it's kind of unlike me. Usually I keep that bonus at plus money, but I'll give you another one here in a little bit. But, you know, I mentioned Crosby in the last block. Just, you know, he did hit the 2.5 shots before that game went to overtime. So that's a positive, right? It's hard to, you know, look at the numbers and you got to take it with a grain of salt because they basically played two games of hockey in game one. But for Crosby, I said this the other day, when he cleared the 2.5 shots in game one, is just, he's a guy maybe that I'd shy away from in the regular season. He's more of a pass first guy. Not that he ever takes, you know, shifts off. He's still phenomenal. This guy is absolutely fantastic. Again, if I'm drafting one player to go on a cup run, it's Sid the Kid. And Connor McDavid's awesome. Auston Matthews, fantastic. But Sidney Crosby is just, this guy's just a winner, man. He just gets it. He's just so good still at this age. He's going to go down as, you guys agree, he's probably going to go down as like a top 3 or 4 player of all time. All time, like, and what he's done, like the cups, the Conn Smythe, World Junior Championship, gold medal Olympics, the golden goal. He's just been amazing. 12 shot attempts, 7 shots in game one, but again, he cleared it in two. He cleared the 2.5 before the game did get to overtime. Sam Bennett wasn't good to us, wasn't fantastic to us. We did have him for a point, but we had the over 2.5 shots. Of course, I made my guy George clip it. And, you know, I pumped it on social, and what happened? He was stuck on 2, and he was stuck on 2 quite early. But I think the same thing applies that I, you know, talked about the other day on Tuesday when it comes to Sam Bennett. Home cooking. You know, 36 games on home ice in the regular season, averaging 4.2 shots per game. He had 21 goals. He was a point per game guy on home ice. His numbers very different away from Florida. He only had 7 goals and 34 games on the road, averaging 2.2 shots per game on the road. But 4.27 is a significant number. He had five shot attempts in game one. He scored a goal. I'd like him to hit the score sheet again, whether it's a goal or an assist. Just to get a point is basically even money for this guy who has been a point per game player in Sunrise this season. So I'm going right back to him. I think it's okay to go back to him as well. We don't need to shy away. I think the process was fine. The shot attempts were there. The ice time was there. I really do like Sam Bennett. And then inside that same game, I mean, we have two others from this same game as well. I'll start with Alex Ovechkin. I said this on Tuesday in the Bet Tracker that Ovechkin can probably get 4 shots alone on the power play. And that's basically what he did. Overall, Ovechkin had 9 shot attempts in the game. It was a game-high 9 shot attempts. He only finished with 4, but he had 3 in the first. It always feels pretty good when you take a guy over 3.5 and he gets 3 in the first period. Ovi likes to shoot the puck. It's not a secret. He loves to shoot the puck, and he's really good at shooting the puck. And he stays on the ice for the entire power play, and he's just off to the side and getting one-timers and taking clappers towards the net. So 3.5, it's at minus 145. I don't mind it as a single, but I think he can put it into a parlay. It actually, even though I led with Bennett, if you're just taking, you know, you want to do like a bit of a four-leg parlay here, you know, I think McKinnon at 4.5 is fine. Is another guy who had 9 shot attempts and 6 shots in game one. You could take him from that game, or Matt Duchene, who's cleared 2.5 in every single game. You can take either Duchene or McKinnon from that game. I think Yossi is also in play at plus money. Is another guy who had like 8 shot attempts and 5 or 6 shots in game one, is going to play like 24, 25 minutes a night. Some of these defensemen that play 24, 25 minutes a night at this time of the year are super intriguing from a shot prop standpoint. There's a lot that I like, and I'm trying to narrow it down with you guys. But if you wanted to do a parlay, you could take Crosby or Rust, who also cleared from that first game, Pittsburgh and New York. Then you have so many options here in this Washington and Florida game, which I expect to be kind of wide open. A lot of offense, a lot of offensive firepower in this contest. You could take Ovechkin. I would lean with him over Bennett and Huberdeau, but I like Bennett and Huberdeau. And then you can get into maybe Nathan McKinnon, the 4.5, or Matt Duchene. I'm actually shying away from everything in Calgary and Dallas, especially on the Dallas side. It was my bad to give Jason Robertson the other day. The shot attempts were there. He hit the bar once as well. And I was leaning Tyler Seguin, who did it. I would kind of lean Seguin again because he's at a better price than Jason Robertson. But rolling with with the Dallas Stars overs are a little risky. You may want to just take some unders in your life. Like maybe, I know it's weird to say that, but maybe a guy like Joe Pavelski who had zero shots and just the one shot attempt. The Flames are just so stingy. And the Stars are kind of stingy as well, that I'm just kind of crossing everybody off my list over there. If I were to pick one, it'd probably be Noah Hanifin at plus money, who led the Flames with six shot attempts and four shots in game one. But I think the action really is in Washington and Florida, and that's why I gave you guys a couple from that game. I also think Anthony Mantha's in play with no Tom Wilson expected tonight. Mantha's plus money at 2.5 shots. He did have five shots in game one as well. But Huberto led all Panthers forwards in shot attempts with nine, and he had seven shots there as well. And I, like I said, I am expecting a nice bounce back performance here from the Florida Panthers. So you can get Bennett at minus 131 or minus 139, and you can get Huberto at minus 135 shots on nine attempts in that game. So rolling with those guys. I have a few more in the bet tracker. You're looking for some plus money stuff. I mentioned Mantha. I also think that he's plus 130, Mantha. I also think that Barkov is in play, and I do like Roman Josi as well. And I got some point props here for you. These have been working out. Again, we got to have some consistency here. It's not all, you know, patting ourselves on the back, but the last time I did this the other day, we hit four of the six, and it was the same core of players that I have no problem going back to here. So Nathan MacKinnon plus 150 for 2 points. Nathan MacKinnon had a 3-point night. This guy, I think he's third all time in playoff points per game, which is ludicrous, but nine shot attempts and six shots in game one. And it was the first prop I put into the FTM bet tracker for Nathan MacKinnon plus 155. You could actually get at Caesars. 30 goals and 72 points in 51 playoff games for his career. He had the 2 goals and 3 points, 6 shots in game one. And he has 5 multi-point games in his last 10 playoff games. Third string goalie in Nashville. Avs are at home. Could put up another 5, 6, 7 spot here tonight. So I'm leading with Nathan MacKinnon. Plus 150, plus 155. Use that free prop shop over at ftmbets.com to get the best possible odds. I think he has another solid night. He's also minus 110 for an assist. I think that's certainly in play as well. I mentioned Bennett earlier, just a point per game guy on home ice, minus 125. Andrew Kopp is over a point per game for the New York Rangers since he was acquired, and he did pick up a goal in the game one contest against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So Kopp at this price, I think, is pretty darn good for a guy who, like I said, has been well over a point per game with the New York Rangers. He's got 19 points in 17 games, got 11 goals. And I mentioned he did score on that last one. Ovechkin plus 195 for an assist. We had plus 210 for Ovechkin to have an assist in game one, and he did get it. We have a goal total here of 6.5, and I think we could see 6 or 7 goals in this game. So just like Matthews last night, we gave Austin Matthews a plus 120 for an assist. He had 2 helpers, known as a goal scorer, but you're getting good value with these goal scorers to just fall into an assist. The same thing last night for Evander Kane, plus 170 for an assist. He did have an apple. He also had a couple goals as well. So kind of going back to some of those goal scorers that could get some assists for us. What else do we have on the board here? Yes, Kale Makar for an assist. He had a 3-point night. He's fantastic. I think pretty good odds here for minus 115. And then Gabriel Landeskog for an assist. We had this in the bet tracker and on the show on Tuesday as well. He was plus 165 for an assist, and he had a really strong game in his return, and he missed a couple months due to a knee surgery, which he had. It was a nasty knee-on-knee hit, a collision, but he looked really good in game one. Looked like he was ready to rock. So there's a lot to like tonight. I think maybe taking some assist props in the Florida games and Colorado games if you're looking for some value. Another guy that was not on that board that I made George change on me last second, always a good sport. I got away from Claude Giroux, plus 110 for an assist to get in on Ovechkin because I just think that's terrific value at plus 190 or plus 195 for Ovi to have an assist. A whole lot more, believe it or not, in the FTM bet tracker. I may have issues. We'll say goodbye to the hockey talk for now, and we will talk. I got an MLB prop for you. Let's do an MLB prop. I'm going to talk a little bit about a Rays pitcher that I just absolutely love, and then we'll round out the show with a little bit of Super Bowl talk. So still lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Stay tuned. All right, a handful of games around the MLB diamond here today. A lot of afternoon action, so make sure you set those fantasy baseball lineups. It is Shohei Ohtani Day, George, up against Rich Hill. You're watching on Game Plus. That's already started, so I can't really talk about it, but I'm pretty sure Shohei is dealing right now. It's dealing. It's got to be dealing. A couple props that I like here. I wanted to lead with Shane McClanahan. Shane McClanahan I do have a Rich Shell. Rich Hill, a.k.a. Rich Shell. I know Mike Trout in the lineup today, so that's a nice positive for Rich Shell. Look at this, Shane McClanahan. This is his sixth start. I have hammered the over on every one of his starts when it comes to strikeout props and perfect 5 for 5, 6.5 Ks, plus 106 over at FanDuel. Shane McClanahan has a league high 14 K per nine, striking out 14 batters per nine innings, a 39.3 strikeout percentage, a 36.9 CSW percentage called strikes or swinging, and then 18.3 swinging strike percentage as well. That's number three. The CSW percentage, the K per nine, and the K percentage is number one in all of baseball. And as I said, the lefty has cleared his strikeout prop in all five of his starts. His last one, 11 strikeouts, 11, 7, 9, 8, and 7. This guy's a stud. I think he's an absolute baller. He was my Cy Young pick to start the season at 20 to 1. He's still kind of hanging around 16 to 1. There's been some walks and he's given up some runs and he hasn't gone deep into ball games. Not a lot of pitchers are going deep into ball games these days. And the Rays certainly aren't one of those teams that likes to throw their pitchers out to like have, you know, 100 plus pitches. They just don't do it. But still, this guy is clearing the strikeouts here. He's got an interesting matchup against Robbie Ray. So it's Tampa and Seattle today with the total at 6.5. Super, super low at 6.5. Ray's strikeout prop is also at 6.5 at plus money, but I'd rather go with Shane McClanahan. The Rays do have some guys in there who can hit lefties, but it is a lefty-on-lefty matchup here today. Robbie Ray, he's been okay to start the season. 5, 4, 4, 5, and 8 for the strikeout. Shane, baby, can't believe 6.5 is plus money. Mike Convery in the house. I agree, dude, and it was 6.5 plus money in his last start, too, which was a tougher matchup. The Mariners rank in the middle of the pack in strikeouts. Last year against lefties, they were the worst hitting team in all of baseball against lefties, and they had a top three strikeout against southpaws. But this year, you know, some of the additions that they've had, I mean, Ty France looks pretty good in the lineup. Winker looks really good. So they've been striking out a little bit less this season, but right in the middle of the pack against lefties. But for Shane McClanahan, his last matchup was against Minnesota. He had 11 punchouts through five. And Minnesota's a team that strikes out quite a bit, but we got plus money on that one as well. And he had a Red Sox game against the Sox. He had 7 through 7. The Cubs, 9 through 6. Oakland, 8 through 4 and 2/3. Baltimore, 7 and 4 and 1/3 in there as well. So some soft matchups, but I think this is a pretty good one as well. And then he's got another start, May 10th against the Halos. And believe it or not, I will take the over on that one as well. I do like Houston. Again, some games here going on this afternoon, so there's not a lot of action. It's hard for me to take the under in a 6.5 ball game, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Rays won that one like 3-1 or something like that. But I like the Astros at home, minus 150 against the Detroit Tigers. Tarik Skubal on the hill for Detroit. He's had a pretty good start to the season. He's got some swing and miss in his arsenal, but this Astros team is a team that is starting to get into a bit of a groove now, starting to get Jose Altuve back in the lineup. And they have a lot of guys who just hit lefties really well. Altuve is one of those guys. Yuli Gurriel is another one. And Alex Bregman, one of the better hitters in baseball against left-handed pitching. So I think the Astros at minus 150, or even if you want to take them on the run line, don't suggest that too often, but you get plus money for the Houston Astros to beat the Detroit Tigers tonight by a couple runs. So another break, and we'll round out the show with a couple of Super Bowl odd futures to talk about. A little NFL to wrap up Mean Streets. Keep her locked. We're only 9 months away from the Super Bowl, so why not talk Super Bowl odds, right? Like, well, come on here. Let's get nuts here and talk some NFL Super Bowl odds. We are going to have Josh Larkey jump in next week, and we'll dive into the rookie rankings, get his thoughts from a dynasty standpoint and a redraft standpoint. I know I touched on a lot of the wide receivers and running backs that were selected in last weekend's NFL draft, and my rankings and Jeff Ratcliffe's got Larkey all live over at ftnfantasy.com. But we will be... we're probably going to have an NFL segment, you know, at least a couple NFL segments per week, even though it's kind of, you know, quiet time in the NFL. But I wanted to bring up the Super Bowl odds with you guys. This is how the dust has settled here after the draft. The Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl favorites at plus 650. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won 2 years ago, Tom Brady is back, baby. 7 to 1. The Rams at 10 to 1. You got the Chiefs there at 10 to 1. The Packers at 10 to 1. The 49ers at 14 to 1. The Chargers and the Broncos making moves in the offseason. A team that's not on here that I actually think pretty good value. The Raiders. The Raiders, another team that made some moves in the offseason. That AFC West, what an absolute bloodbath that is going to be. I don't know if all four teams can make the playoffs. I think three of the four. You know, the Broncos got Russell Wilson. The Chargers have made a lot of defensive moves in the offseason to bring in some guys. Offensively, of course, Justin Herbert's fantastic. I think the team that kind of scaled back a little bit offensively are the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost the Honey Badger. Tyrann Mathieu, safety, has gone to New Orleans. They traded Tyreek Hill to Miami. They got Juju Smith-Schuster, and they got Sky Moore in the draft, who's going to be a nice little player for them from a fantasy standpoint. But I think there's some holes in this KC team. I don't like that bet. I think they're a bit of a trap. Of course, they do have Patrick Mahomes, who's an absolute stud. But defensively, I don't think that they can match up with the Raiders, with the Broncos, or with the Chargers. Those three teams have unbelievable pass rushers who can get after the quarterback, and the same can't be said for the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, I think, you know, we'll dive into maybe long shots a little bit later, you know, on another day. But I think the Raiders, like 45-1, are pretty interesting. The Cowboys at 17, Cleveland at 17. The Bengals, not getting a lot of respect for a team that went to the Super Bowl last year, 18-1. The Ravens, I think, are a decent long shot here on this list. On the right side, it's probably my favorite team on the right side at 22-1. I do believe that they will bounce back this season. A lot of injuries they had last year, so I like their squad quite a bit. I'm not falling for Tennessee, Arizona, or Indianapolis. What I wanted to say, the teams on the left, the value is with the NFC, because the AFC is so loaded. There are so many good teams in the AFC. There's going to be a couple that don't make the playoffs that are going to have better records than teams in the NFC that get in. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, the Bucs are going to win the Super Bowl again, but the Bucs or the Rams have a really good shot to go back to the Super Bowl. I'm not buying into the Green Bay Packers offensively. They did not replace Devontae Adams correctly, and they just seem to choke in the playoffs. This is a team that's 7-9 in the playoffs since they last won their last Super Bowl. So I like the Bucs to go back. I think there's value with the Bucs, and I think there's a lot of value here with the Rams. They bring in Allen Robinson as well. Don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be back, but they got the band back together. Still got McVay. Still got Cooper Kupp, still got Matthew Stafford. So Bills, not so much at 650-1, just because of the path is going to be tough. But the Bucs and the Rams, these are definite two teams that are going to win their division, and they're going to make the playoffs. They may even have a bye as well. And these, I think there's value to be said. Even at 7-1 to 10-1, I think there's value getting on board right now. Because if they get off to hot starts and start 4-0 in a weak NFC conference, you could see them at 650 or 7-1 in terms of the Rams going All right, little NFL talk to round out Mean Streets. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. Enjoy your Thursday, and we'll be back tomorrow.